Welcome to the Sean Stevenson Show. I'm Sean Stevenson, your host and professional speaking guide. You have a message to share, and I can teach you how to get it to millions. The Sean Stevenson Show, the best resource for building a lucrative speaking business and a fulfilling life. Enjoy the show. So today on the program, I'm taking a different angle. You're used to me starting off with behind closed doors. Now we're going, what really runs Sean Stevenson's business? And that is really Rose Coppy. And so Rose is my executive assistant. She's been working for me for how long now?
2 years.
2 years. So either she enjoys this or she's just waiting on her end game. I don't know yet. But I think that...
A little bit of both.
Got it. So what we're going to do today is we're going to just have a conversation about the business of speaking. We're going to talk about what the experience of working with clients is really like. So all the things that have everything to do with not being on stage. Because that's where I am qualified to handle my part in the business. But the rest comes down to Rose as the executive assistant and kind of the director of communications. So why don't we turn back the clock here, Rose, and tell the listener, like, why did you even want to come work for Sean Stevenson in the first place?
I just became a stay-at-home mom. And I was looking to do some stuff outside of my home to keep my career, you know, fulfilled while I was taking time off from working full time. And this position came up and I thought that would be the perfect opportunity for me to use my organizational skills to kind of stay in the game. And I knew nothing of Sean, so it was kind of just going in blind. I saw a couple videos of him that I thought were inspiring. I met with him and it was just like a connection right away, and I felt, you know, super safe with him, and it just kind of started from there.
And truth be told, Mindy hired you.
Right.
And so here's what's funny from my side of why you got the job. I didn't have a choice. No, I'm just kidding. What happened was Mindy had interviewed a bunch of applicants and came down to two applicants that she thought were qualified. I just looked at her and I said, which one would you hire if it had nothing to do with me? And she said, Rose. And I said, then I want Rose. And she's like, well, why did you pick Rose? That's just what I would do. I said, because you can see things that usually I can't. For instance, and this is why it's important to the listener that is developing a speaking business, is I used to hire my executive assistants based on people that were like me. So they were like social, gregarious, life of the party, center of the attention kind of people. And I thought, this is awesome. We have similar personalities. This will be great. And it never worked out. Every executive assistant I had in the past, as amazing as they were in their own right, it wasn't the right fit. And so that was a good move on my part to say, you know, Mindy, why don't you handle this, because I'm not good at this part. And sometimes, as you're going to hear in this interview, you need a team of people around you because you're not going to be good at everything. You know, Rose, people often put me on a pedestal and they think like, oh, Sean is so inspiring and smart and successful. Like, he's good at everything he does. Can you dispel that rumor? Can you talk about, like, and, you know, I've given her permission ahead of time, but can you talk to them about, like, where do I struggle? What is not my forte, and why is it good to have a team around me in that regard?
Sure. So some of the things that I've been hired to do to help Sean with, because it's not his strength, are, you know, all of the logistical things that are involved with a business, like getting a speaking contract written up, communicating with the clients, managing his calendar, booking flights, hotels, ground transportation, monitoring his email inbox, making sure that everything gets a response in a timely manner. That's one of the biggest things, because there were some, you know, opportunities that had come about that Sean just wasn't aware of, because he was too busy to monitor all of his emails that were coming in. So just making sure that everybody gets an answer, giving everyone the information that they need when a client is purchasing a product or a service, just making sure that they have all the information to make that experience happen.
At 10K Speeches, our annual event that we do, I asked you once, Rose, what happens if I do something in the business outside of my my main three? Do you know what my three things that I'm good at are? Do you remember them?
Okay, let's see. Well, I feel like you have more than three now.
Okay, but let's just say the three that
originally is going to be content creation.
Being on stage
and coaching.
Yeah, being with clients,
yeah.
Yep. And then when you were up on stage, I said, what happens if I do something that's out of that alignment? Do you remember what you said?
It's funny because this was like shortly after I started working for you.
Yeah.
I just said, we have to do it again.
Yes, we have to do it again. And what was funny about bringing Rose on is when she came on board, the first month and a half, we had no speaking engagements planned at the time we were putting together our event. And so Rose had never seen me speak live. She was completely new at the experience. And I just remember the first time you saw me speak at Michael Fishman's Consumer Health Summit. I feel like that changed everything.
Yeah.
Because, well, you tell them why, what changed the moment you saw me present?
Well, I mean, I'd never really seen, you know, a speech delivered before that was in that type of
environment
and just content. Like, it's always been kind of just, like, from my perspective, boring, you know, just kind of general motivation. Okay, it's not that exciting. You know, and Sean was talking about all the things that people struggle with, like addictions and suicide and divorce and just all these really real topics that connect with, you know, pretty much everybody. Everybody's gone through some kind of emotional thing. So just to see that and, like, see the audience takeaway and see how excited the people were to deal with him, it brought a whole new perspective of, you know, what my role is and my position in the company and how I can help him deliver that message.
And what was fun about that is I feel like that was the first time you were like, oh, this is why I'm working here. Like, before then, it was kind of like, what's this company all about? What am I doing this for? Because I would make a lot of mistakes, and things would not get done. And then, you know, finally she sees me speak, and she's like, okay, well, maybe we can understand these shortcomings because there's this skill that he brings. And that's, I share that because the individual listening to this is either currently a speaker, or wants to be a speaker, or has some kind of message they want to bring out into the world, and they might be beating themselves up, feeling like, I'm not good at scheduling, I'm not good at responding to emails, I'm not good at creating opt-in pages for webinars, and therefore think that they can't run a speaking business. But what Rose has brought to the table is taking things off my plate that I shouldn't be doing. You're always reminding me, Rose, that if I can do it for you, Sean, don't do it. Like, it's not a good use of your time. So how important do you think it is for them to really consider putting somebody on their staff, either part-time or full-time? Like, what advantage do you think it will be for somebody to grow their speaking business by having an executive assistant?
Well, I think, you know, when they're first starting off, maybe that's not something that they can have at that time. But as you start to realize how much of your time you're using to deal with all these things that you're not good at, and then realizing, you know, the kind of strain maybe that puts on you, or just, you know, those kinds of things, that you might want to consider just bringing somebody in, because it doesn't have to be a full-time position. There's lots of people that work virtually, have somebody that you meet with over a video call, you know, a few hours a week. So it's really, you know, up to the speaker to decide what they want.
That's the thing is, when you think about bringing somebody on your team, you don't need to come out and say, like, okay, I'm going to hire you for a full workload. You know, it can be a temporary thing, or it could be a part-time thing. And, you know, you will grow into the experience with your executive assistant. So what would you say if somebody's looking for an executive assistant? What kind of aspects of a personality or what kind of aspects of good character fit that you've experienced in working with me that they might need to pay attention to?
Okay, so organization is going to be key, especially if you have somebody that's going to be managing your calendar and your flights and all of your logistical things. Customer service is going to be huge because in a lot of cases, that person is going to be the first point of contact to the client outside of the speaker. So you need to have somebody that knows how to carry themselves, how to be professional and friendly and personal, because a lot of the clients that we get, for instance, come from a corporate world. So when we talk to them and we have fun and we joke and, you know, we ask them how their family is, it makes them feel, you know, special, and it makes you know, our company stand out from, you know, why they would hire Sean versus somebody else. So, you know, you want to have that positive kind of outlook. And then somebody that just has the same kind of maybe values that you're trying to portray in your message, because you want that authenticity. You know, you're not going to be able to have a assistant trying to help, you know, maybe land sales if they don't believe in your message.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So working at our company, the company's name is Lucra. Working at Lucra, Rose, what would you say are some of the fun benefits or perks that you would recommend other speakers have for their employees? What would you say?
Sure. Well, this is going to be, you know, different for everybody.
Sure.
But for me, I mean, it's fun. We come in and we tell stories and we joke around. We play fun music. You know, we go out to eat. Today we had Ice Cream Friday, which was awesome. Thank you, Sean. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
We meet at the coffee shop for meetings. You know, just kind of fun things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like all that stuff because...
Create an environment where your team knows that you care about them as a human.
Sure.
First, and then the business comes second. I've also had to let go of some of the control and responsibility of things like my calendar and some of the decisions. Like, you know, I don't know anymore all the requests that I get for podcasts. Rose is going through and figuring out at this point, this one's a good one for you to do. This one's probably not a good one. This media I would take, I wouldn't take that. This speech is probably not going to come through. I didn't agree to it because I knew it wasn't a good fit for you. And I've had to let go. I've had to let go of knowing every little detail. If you recall, I totally micromanaged you in the beginning longer than I maybe needed to, just because I would want to feel like I had to have my hands on the controls. When you're bringing in a team of people around you, you have to trust the fact that you hired somebody amazing if you did a great job in the interview process. And then you got to let them make their own mistakes, learn. I mean, there's been times where you come in and you've been like, oops, we made a mistake in the schedule, or we made a mistake with the times or the dates. And I'm like, all right, no worries. And I've seen speakers berate their executive assistants for a mistake that was something anybody could have made. So when a person is looking to bring an executive assistant, what are some of the tasks that show up before the speech happens? So like somebody in the early inquiries knocks on their door and says, hey, I'm interested in hiring fill in the blank name for a speech. Like, what are all the steps that you can see in the timeline before I hit the stage or before they hit the stage?
Okay, so there's a ton of things that have to happen in order for that to, you know, be successful. So the first thing is finding out about their event, if their budget is going to meet, you know, your requirements to have you go and do that speech. After that takes place, then you're going to want to get a speaking contract in place, you know, receive payment. Then you have to book the travel to and from the venue. You have to set up the accommodations. You have to plan for ground transportation. You have to send over your bio and your headshot and your introduction video. And then you have to set up your sound check time. And then you have to find out who your AV contact is. You need to find out, you know, what kind of room setup they have. You need to find out what the stage is going to look like. You need to find out what the backdrop is going to look like.
Why is that important?
Well, we had this one instance that was pretty funny, actually. Sean shows up and he usually wears like a blue or a green shirt when he speaks. And this one client, I'm not sure if the backdrop was blue or if the lighting was blue, but it was like the exact same color as Sean's head or as Sean's shirt. And so he sends me this photo and he's like, what is wrong with this photo? And he looked like a floating head because the backdrop and his shirt was the exact same color on stage. So all you could see was his head. So it was pretty funny. So after that, we kind of, you know, try to find that stuff out in advance. And then you need to find out what is happening, you know, right before your talk. Who's doing your introduction? Make sure they have the right music. Make sure they have the right information. If you're going to have a slide presentation, you know, you need to send that over and get that approved. Then you have to find out what takes place after the speech and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of little things to manage. And it's funny because with Sean's speaking calendar, it seems like all of his events seem to cluster together around the same week. So he usually has three events taking place back to back to back. And a lot of these details aren't determined until the week before. So we're trying to, you know, double check everything and confirm everything and get all the itineraries set up. And so, you know, if you're trying to do all of that while you're trying to plan your talk,
you're going to make a lot of mistakes.
You're going to make some mistakes because you're not going to be able, you know, to focus on the important stuff. So for me to do all those things and take that off of Sean's plate, it's huge for him because then when he rolls on stage, he's relaxed, he's himself, and he can just hit it out of the park.
Absolutely. Awesome, Rose. Will you come back again another time then so we can talk about like maybe running live events?
Sure. Sounds great.
All right. Perfect. And for those of you that want to learn more about speaking and learn from me, I recommend you join our Facebook group by going to facebook.com/groups/lucrative speaker. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure and subscribe to The Sean Stevenson Show on iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. For more information and further conversation, head on over to our Facebook group, Lucrative Speaker. I'm Sean Stevenson, your professional speaking guide. I'll catch you next time on The Sean Stevenson Show. You've got a message, let's get it to millions.